if you're with your friends or you're lonely. When you hear somebody start to say my name.
News Talk ZB with Mike Adley and for Mike Hosking. It is 7 past 8. This is new music. Dan and Shay. Now, these guys actually previously did work with Justin Bieber. And Bieber does actually appear on this new 12-song LP they've put together. This is a preview single release from the album, Good Things. This is the title track, Good Things. And then we drove to Seattle, and just a kiss in the rain. So let's go from Dan and Shay to Mitch and Nashy. It's Politics Wednesday. Stuart.
Morning, Mike.
Morning to you, Mark. Good morning, Stuart.
Mitch. Mike, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Now, before we go any further, I need to ask you about the costs and the benefits of the America's Cup defence. Stuart, 42 cents back for every dollar spent. Was it worth it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Mike. You know, we held this in the middle of a global pandemic. No one forecast that, but what we've ended up with is a fantastic Auckland waterfront. We had 40,000 people visit Auckland at a time when they really need that business. Sure, as the Auckland chap said, if we knew we were going to have a global pandemic, obviously we wouldn't invest it. But the outcome, we won the Cup, we held a fantastic event, we got global coverage, and the Auckland waterfront is world-class.
Mark, do you agree, or is this another example of Labor government low-quality spending?
No, look, I think that if COVID made it very hard to make a profit on it, just by the sheer nature that we're dealing with a global pandemic. But I think it was a world-class event. The rest of the world was watching, so it was huge for us in terms of the country's profile. And I think that's really important for us to hold on to and continue to host events like the America's Cup. We do have to get them profitable, but look, that was always going to be a tough ask when we're dealing with COVID.
Indeed. Stuart, the $99 million offer, our final offer, that's still on the table, right?
No, well, Team New Zealand still has to come back to us. I mean, as you know, we had a 3-month period of exclusivity that ended without us coming to an agreement. So Team New Zealand now has now they're off, I'm assuming, negotiating with other parties.
I agree, but have we rescinded our offer?
No, any decision always had to go back to Cabinet. So when we talk about a final offer, I mean, the government put forward a package, Auckland City Council put forward a package.
Yeah.
If we were in agreement after the negotiations, then that had to be approved by Cabinet and also approved by Auckland City Council. So, you know, that process is still in place. It's not a fait accompli that if they come back to us and there's $99 million just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
There is still a process to go through if, in fact, that is the route they end up taking after talking to overseas interests.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to the chair of Team New Zealand a couple of days ago, and they are still very focused and motivated on trying to hold it up here. They understand the importance of it, how important it would be to have it here. The government shouldn't have an open checkbook. It's got to be a partnership-based approach, and hopefully we can keep it.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask you before we go to the break about this issue that, as you may know, has really bugged me? Foreign fishing vessels essentially coming into our country where we somehow, for some reason, become the sick bay to the seafaring world. I've got a couple of concerns and uncertainties as to how this has all come about. And Stuart, I'm just wondering if you could clarify a few things. First of all, unlike a container ship or a cargo ship that is part of our supply chain, why are we giving foreign fishing vessels access to New Zealand when they are not fishing in our waters?
Yeah, look, I have the same level of concern, Mike. You read these stories and you shake your head. But in the end, it's my understanding that under maritime law, we are actually obliged to give safe harbour to these vessels. And, you know, you can be assured that the Ministry of Health and all the other agencies involved will be taking the absolute utmost precautions to ensure that COVID does not spread in our community. They're doing this already. So I think New Zealanders can be assured that the processes are in place. But, yeah, I know. We have obligations as a nation.
Stuart, can I just jump in before I go to Mark? I'm sorry. I just don't accept that as an explanation, because with your cargo ships, there are obviously clear requirements where we have to allow them to do a crew change in New Zealand, right?
Mm-hmm.
As part of being part of the supply chain. How does that apply to a foreign fishing vessel full of foreigners not fishing in our waters? Why are we allowing them to do crew changes here, Stuart?
Mike, I just want to be clear about one thing. I think you're conflating two issues here. One is the crew changes, which New Zealand vessels are doing, not foreign vessels. So New Zealand vessels that are staffed by overseas fishermen are actually doing crew changes here. The ones that have come in with sick fishermen on, COVID fishermen, that is not a normal process. They're here because they've got sick crew members. Now, I think the main takeaway from this is that New Zealanders can be assured that the Ministry of Health takes this incredibly seriously and has put the processes in place to ensure that COVID does not get out into our community from these vessels.
Well, we're taking a risk though, aren't we? We know that with everyone that is in MIQ that becomes positive, that is a theoretical risk to you and me, is it not, Mark?
Absolutely it is. So in terms of crew changes, absolutely, that should not be happening unless it is a New Zealand owned and operated vessel. Foreign vessels should not be coming here. Okay, so I'll take your word for on that one. The second point is sick seamen. That you basically, what the government should be saying to these international fishing companies is that if you don't manage your risk properly and you don't have proper processes in place to deal with that, and it means that we've got ships coming into our ports with sick people, there should be a massive fine applied to that.
Yeah, but Mitch, there is so much work going into this to ensure that COVID does not spread from these foreign fishing vessels into our community.
Okay, what happens if it does, Stuart? What happens if it does? Can you imagine the outcry?
I can imagine the outcry. I can absolutely.
Are you prepared to take that risk? Should you be?
No. What I would say, Mike, is that we haven't had a case of community transmission in our country for a long time. We've got the systems in place. The Ministry of Health, as mentioned, has done so much work in this space to just ensure that the risk is absolutely mitigated. You can never eliminate it, but we've got to trust our professionals. We do an awesome job, and I think you'll find that it doesn't escape. But
we are inviting danger to our doorstep, Stuart, needlessly, for no economic benefit.
We do things, Mike, because we are good people. We're a good nation. We understand
we're kind.
The law.
We're kind.
Well, come on. We do have an obligation. We do have international obligations, and I think we take those very seriously.
Righto. We'll take a break. More to come with Stuart Nash and Mark Mitchell very shortly, at 8:15. News Talk ZB with Mike Yardley, Politics Wednesday with Stuart Nash and Mark Mitchell. Mark, let me ask you for some audience feedback. Did you hear Portal Williams last hour? And what did you think?
I missed that because I was in another meeting. But so I haven't heard her interview. But the only comment that I would make is that I feel very strongly that the police minister is completely out of touch with what's happening on our streets at the moment. Without a doubt, we've seen a rise now in firearms incidents. I've been in High Court supporting Diane Hunt, Hunt's mother, through his trial this week. And to say that. One thing that I did hear is that she made a comment around she's only concerned about one part of the community. I mean,
correct.
The responsibility of the police minister and our police is to serve without fear or favour and to ensure that our whole country and every community, every member of our community is safe. And the best way to do that is to make sure that our police are backed, they're given the resources and the training to get out there and actually tackle organised crime and gangs head on, to take the guns off the street and actually to make not only our police safer, but our communities much safer as well.
Right. Stuart, do you think the police minister, your successor, is going to have to clarify her comments from last hour?
Oh, I'm not too sure about that. A couple of things I want to say first, Mike.
Do you think it was a commanding performance?
Well, one thing I would say, and she probably assumed you knew this, politicians have no ability to tell police what to do. If the police commissioner wants those AR teams back, if the police commissioner wants general arming, then he can determine that. It is not for politicians to make those decisions. So I can tell you I'm against general arming because the evidence just doesn't support it. But in the end...
Did you support the armed response team's trial, Stuart? Did you support that trial? Did you support the trial?
I supported the trial. I absolutely supported the trial. And in the end... the police commissioner and the police themselves came to the decision that they would not continue with that. It wasn't me.
And you know where most of that feedback came from, right?
It doesn't. No, look, I refute that because I saw a lot of the feedback from that. And believe me, the police take an evidence-based approach. The other thing I would say, Mike, is when I was a Minister of Police, we substantially increased the penalties for gun crime, and the Nats voted against it. Substantially increased the penalties for gun crime, I increased police numbers by a record number.
That's complete nonsense. And by the way, if you talk about not voting for legislation, I put a bill up in the House 2 months ago, increasing penalties for serious assaults on our first responders, our nurses, our police officers, even our fire crews that are out there attending incidents. Labor voted that down, Nashie. So I'm not going to get into that that discussion with you. But what I will say is this, is absolutely the politicians and the government should be having the police commissioner into the office, and they should be sending a very clear message.
No, it is, but you know this.
That they support the police to get out there and tackle these gangs head on. And I can tell you right now that
and
I
do 100%.
I held a meeting in my office with my local area commander and our councillors, and we had an extremely positive meeting where I let him know that he's got the full backing of the elective representatives to go out there and tackle the gangs that have moved into our area, and we've now had gun crime in our streets, which we haven't had that in the last 3 or 4 years.
And Mitch,
right, I've got to wrap this up, guys. Stuart, can I just ask you, and I'll come back to Mark in a moment, Portal's position is she will never support general arming. The side arming, you know, guns on hips. Yep. Are you of the same view ideologically? You will never go along with it?
No, look, it's an evidence-based approach, but I just want to reiterate. And what about
the police association membership? 69% of them want it, need it. How can you afford to thumb your nose at that clamour?
I'm not thumbing my nose at all. I take an evidence-based approach, as do the police. But, Mike, I just want to reiterate. It is not a politician's decision on side arming of police. That is purely the commissioner's. In fact, by law,
you guys could send the signal, could you not? You could send the signal.
It is up to the commissioner of police how he deploys, where he deploys, and in what form.
Matthew Hunt was gunned down in broad daylight on the streets of West Auckland with an offender with a military-style AK-47 weapon. If that's not the evidence that you need to see that we've got a problem, we've got an issue in this country with organised crime and gun violence, then I don't know what other science or evidence you're searching for.
Thank you, guys. I am going to have to leave it there. Mark Mitchell and Stuart Nash, 822.